and share the Word of God with you. If you have your Bibles, we'll be reading from the Gospel of St. John today in chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. The Word of God reads, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased." Remember that. "And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone." Verse number 9, please. "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of we better bring our lunch. Better bring your lunch, because the task is tough. Better come prepared, amen? Well, what we've got to do, what's in front of us, we better bring our lunch. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God that we've tried to share. I pray your blessings upon it. We pray the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts, that it encourages, dear Lord, that we get about your business, dear Lord, of impacting the world around us, that we be prepared, dear Lord, for a struggle, that we be prepared at times that we're overwhelmed, dear Lord, but those things you bless can do great things. I pray that everyone here today, all that are watching and listening, are saved. If they are not, I pray the Spirit of God would convict them, dear Lord, and today they would fall down on their knees and come to know You as Lord and Savior and know that they are saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, encourage Your people today. Bless the sick. We pray Your healing upon them. Bless each one who's here and those who are watching again. Lord, get glory from what little we have to offer here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Better bring your lunch. You know, there used to be a saying, you know, around boys and stuff, somebody said, I'm going to whoop you. Well, you better bring your lunch. You remember that one, guys? In other words, it's going to be a job. I like to take my lunch, and I maybe so more as I've got older. I don't work manually a lot these days. I'm not able, but occasionally I do. But I like to take my lunch, because especially if I got a trip to make. When my wife and I drive to Destin, I take my lunch. You know, I know and I've learned over the years it takes a lot of time out of your trip to stop and eat. We only stop for necessities. I like to take my lunch when I drive, whether working or on pleasure. I like to be ready, you know, because I want the trip to get over. I know that it's a long way to the beach. I know it's a long ways to wherever I have to go in a truck. And I want to get the job over with and to get back. And to do that properly, I know that it'll help me to have my lunch. I don't spend a lot of time in truck stops or Cracker Barrels. You know, you're going to kill 2 hours in a Cracker Barrel. You're going to kill some time at one of these new Buc-ee's, if you've ever been into one of them. You know, it's like a shopping center, road shopping center. But to get the job done, you need to carry your lunch with you, or at least I do. This is a story in the Bible, and it's an important story. It teaches us a lot. It's about a story about where there's a lot of people congregated, and none of them apparently had the forethought to prepare for the day, you know, spending a day out in the wilderness, wherever they were with Jesus. Nobody packed a lunch. Isn't that strange? Nobody packed a lunch except one little boy. Doesn't even name him. In fact, the other Gospels don't name him. They just come up and say, as the Lord is saying, take an inventory, they all say, well, there's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish here. But John names and says the source of that picnic lunch is a little boy. Can you imagine that? Even though the Bible doesn't tell us, let's just surmise and just think for a moment. This has to be a beautiful scene. All of these people have come out to see the miracles that Jesus has been performing, to be a part of something good, to hear the good news of the kingdom. If there was ever a time that people need to hear something good, it is today. It is today. And that's why we better have our lunch with us. Our business is to share the good news. These people were drawn to hear the good news of what? The kingdom of God. These are folks who had very little to look forward to in life. Life was hard in those days. Life is hard and challenging today, even though we have more things and more stuff, the pressures of life, and there's so much heartbreak and sorrow out there that people really need to hear some good news. They just don't know what it is. And we do err greatly when we assume that they do know the good news. Well, everybody knows. No, they don't. No, they don't. But at any rate, there is this congregation that says at least 5,000. It says about 5,000. Who's counting, huh? A lot of people. What it means. about 5,000. And Jesus says, how are we going to feed this multitude of people? You know, in one of the Gospels it said, I will not send them away fainting. We're going to take care of the people. Crowd control, logistics, the disciples, that's part of their job, managing the crowds and how much resources do we have here. Andrew, Peter's brother, said, there is this one little boy who has a picnic lunch. 5 little barley loaves, 2 little fishes, maybe like sardines. It wasn't much, but it was something. Here, we can just imagine perhaps this little boy's mother packed him a picnic lunch. Going out in the wilderness with this group of people who are going out to see Jesus, to hear the good news of the kingdom, and to see His mighty works. Here's your picnic lunch. Oh, bless the mothers who look out for their children. And bless this little boy who brought the picnic lunch. It wasn't much, but it was enough. It was enough. There's a little lad here, which is 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but even Andrew and the disciples said, wow, this is not going to go very far with 5,000 people. We think that we don't have much to offer. We don't have much. And we've been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and one of the things that St. Paul has been telling Corinthian Christians who have all kind of questions about being married, not married, are you better off? And Paul is just basically saying, wherever you are, serve the Lord. Well, if I was married, I could serve the Lord better. If I wasn't married, I could serve the Lord. Paul said, whatever, if I was a free man, I could serve the Lord better. What, you know, Paul's in whatever station you're at in your life, serve the Lord. But like us today, they always had a desire to be in a different position. Now, we would like maybe to be better qualified, have better talents to serve the Lord and all that, but God has called us just like we are. It would have been nice here this day if a whole bunch of people had brought their lunch, but they didn't. They had what they had. We have to use what we have at what station we are in our life. Jesus takes what this young boy, and isn't it wonderful how this little boy was willing to share what he had. Was willing to share what he had. The Lord took it, blessed it, and fed over 5,000 people. Crowd control. And Jesus said in one of the other Gospels, says there's a lot of grass there. Can you imagine that scene? Orderly. One of the Gospels, he said, have the men to sit down in groups of 50. Our God is a God of order and structure. You know, there wasn't chaos and all these things, but order, rule the day. Jesus said, have them sit down orderly in groups of 50. He blessed the food, broke it up, gave to the disciples, and they had 12 baskets left over. Orderly. Crowd control. I often wonder, studying the book of Acts, the growth of the New Testament church. It started out 3,000 people saved, 5,000 people. How do you manage those numbers? The logistics of it. You know, it says that those that had land sold it and distribution was made. That was the office of deacon was created to help out in the logistics to see that people got fed and took care of, and it just worked. It just worked because the Holy Spirit was leading. Jesus is here, and 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, it says. Small. Sardines, maybe. Something like that. Fed the multitude. And the Bible says that this miracle was so powerful that the people talked about taking Jesus and making him a king. And he had to withdraw. That was a powerful miracle. Jesus knew that. That was the first temptation. Turn these stones into bread if you're hungry. And Jesus said, it's also written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It was a temptation for Jesus to use his power to feed armies. Can you imagine? In fact, the people wanted to keep following Jesus. And later he says, you're not following me. At this point, they're following him because of the miracles. But after this, you're not following me because of the miracles, he's saying, but because of the bread you did eat. You did eat. And he, after another miracle, decided that we got to stop feeding people. You know, free lunches will work. You know, people like food. And he cut off the making of bread and began to say, you know, we need to talk about some spiritual matters. And they weren't too interested. These are hard sayings, who can hear? And it says many of them walked no more with him. But it was a very powerful miracle. And it came about a little insignificant boy at a picnic lunch. Didn't seem like much. Listen, you may not be much, but what we have, give it to God, let him bless it, and much can be accomplished. Our labor is intense that we have to do. We've been called to impact the world. There are over 8 billion people alive today. The biggest part of those people are not saved. That's reality. The only way they're going to be saved is to hear the gospel. Our job is to share good news with people, to try to reach. It's an overwhelming job. You know, how can we make a dent into 8 billion people? How can we make a dent into the millions of people in the United States? How can we? It's overwhelming. Well, the disciples felt it was overwhelming here. What are 5 loaves and 3 fishes among so many? You know, it won't even make a dent into this crowd. But Jesus was able to bless and to use it and to feed the multitude. We don't always have to have the best of everything to serve God. We're all uniquely created in Christ Jesus. Everybody has a gift, and he can use us where we are. We just have to be willing to share, like the little boy was. We have to know up front we need to bring our lunch. We got work to do. This is not a plaything. You know, eternity is at stake. The stakes are high. And we can't afford to fool around. You know, this is serious business. The labor is intense, and it will require that we bring our lunch with us. We be willing to labor and do some hard work. Overwhelming if we think about what we're up against. The odds against us. In the Gospel of Matthew, talking about the crowds, and you know, all of these people wanted to come and see Jesus. there were just crowds of people thronging him. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 through 38, you're talking about all these crowds and so many needs. You know, you look at our prayer list. You know, your daily prayers, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, if we're honoring the things that we're supposed to pray for, it's your prayer time is going to increase. It's going to occupy more and more of your time because there's so much. And, you know, it takes a while to go over all the needs. And you just think about it. All the people who were coming to Jesus from all corners, people who were sick, people who had diseases and plagues and all of these things, just so many people coming and going. Listen to Matthew here, chapter 9, and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, wow, overwhelming, the needs, that has not changed. What has changed? There's a whole lot more of them today. A whole lot more of them. I used to know everybody in town. Do you ever feel like that? If you're my age, there was a time when you knew everybody in this community. I go out in public places now and I say, who are these people? Who are all these people? I don't know anybody anymore. You know, there's so many new people, you know. I don't understand that. They tell us actually that our census, I can't believe it, but they say it hadn't really grown. And all of a sudden, I don't know anybody anymore. It's overwhelming. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Now, challenge here. When we see these numbers of people, what's our reaction? Overwhelmed? Who are these people? Or are we moved with compassion upon? He was moved with compassion on them because he looked deeper than people. You know, he saw into the hearts. He saw human beings. He saw people who were broken, much like they are today. People who were living a hopeless life, broken and all kinds of problems in life. He was moved with compassion on them because he saw into their lives. Because they fainted, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's not changed today. That's how people are living today. Broken, scattered, fainting, trying the ways of the world. Brokenness upon brokenness, adding to problems. Misery upon misery. Having no shepherd. Nobody to tell them. Nobody to tell. So we're looking at a work that is overwhelming when you think about it, right? Think about the numbers. 8 billion people. Oh, women. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. There is a lot of work out there, fellas. Sometimes I say, oh, but it's harder today. That's a lame excuse for me, and I do it, and I say it sometimes, and I feel like that People are not interested anymore, and the numbers of people are turning away. There's a falling away, and some of that is truth, and it's biblical. That doesn't negate our orders. You know, we are to what? Occupy till I come. We're not to throw our hands up and say, we're in a great falling way and people are not interested anymore, so we're relieved of our duty and our obligation. No. We are to continue to try to help people as the best we can. He said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Those who are really willing to get in there and to work, those who bring their lunch with them, are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, think about it. We better bring our lunch because the work is hard. It's a lot of hard work to do. This is not easy, is it? Well, I got news for you. It ain't going to get any easier. As the day approaches, it's not going to get any easier. The Gospel of John chapter 9 tells us that Jesus passed by and saw a man that was born blind, and his disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Whose fault is that? It's irrelevant, isn't it? That's the way we think sometimes. Well, it's their own fault. Or we might blame somebody else. You know, it's the fault of the way they was raised. That doesn't matter, really, does it? Whose fault is it? Jesus said here, when they asked that question, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Now listen to this. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Got to bring you lunch to this job. Got to be willing to share what you have, you know, for the glory of God. Let Jesus touch it and bless it, and great things can come to it. We've got to work while we have the opportunity. My wife and I went on a cruise one time. We no longer do that. She maybe is, but unless something changes, I took my last one. I've seen it. I'm just not interested anymore, you know. But anyhow, I remember going on with that one at first in that time, and they have the midnight buffet, and they say, oh, get up at night, and you have free food all over. Get up and come to midnight and eat again. And they'd say on that guy over the loudspeaker, he said, oh, you can rest when you go home, you know, stay up all night. Well, we got to work while it's day. The night's cometh when we cannot work anymore. We'll rest one day in glory. But while it is day, we got to bring our lunch with us. Got to get in there, roll up our sleeves, be one of these laborers that Jesus said, even though the work is overwhelming, it's intense, pray the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Yes, it is labor intense. Yes, it is hard. Yes, it is overwhelming. But little blessed by him will accomplish a lot. Well, I ain't got much to work with. When the disciples run around taking inventory, anybody here got any food? What have we got here? What are our resources today? You know, it's people are getting hungry. Anybody bring much food? The little boy, I have my picnic lunch here. I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but you're welcome to it. I ain't got much to work with, you know. What an excuse we have today. And I sadly use that myself sometimes. If I only had more to work with, if we only had better resources, if I only had more talent, if I only had more time, if I only had this or that. But God says, use what you have. The 5 loaves, 2 fish, wasn't much, but it got the job done. It fed the multitude. The Lord can bless little, and it can touch lots of lives. A lot can be accomplished with little. We must be willing to serve where we are and to use what we have at the present. A great example of that is none other than Moses, who is called on the side of the hillside tending sheep. And God says, after a failed attempt on his own to deliver his people, you will go back down there and bring them out. I'm not prepared. He's had 40 years to think about it. He's had 40 years to think about it. Feelings hurt because they rejected his own efforts to free his people. His heart was right, but it wasn't God's timing. He followed his own heart. And God said, this time you will go down there and you will bring the... How? I can't. They've already rejected me. He had all kind of excuses. I can't talk. Well, God finally says, Aaron can. I'll let you have him. How am I going to bring these people out? They won't pay me no attention. Remember what God said? What do you have in your hand? A shepherd's staff. A stick. That's all he had on the side of the mountain tending sheep. And God said, you will take that stick and you will bring them out. And he did. You will take that stick and you'll cast it down. It'll become a serpent. You'll take it up and it'll become a rod again. You'll hold that stick out over the rivers in Egypt and they'll turn to blood. You will use this stick. He took that stick, and God said, you take that stick, and you hold it over the Red Sea, and you part. That wasn't like Cecil B. DeMille's movie. It says it took it all night, but a strong east wind blew. Moses held the rod over the Red Sea, and the children of Israel marched across on dry ground with a stick. With a stick, the same old stick. It wasn't a fancy stick. It wasn't a golden rod or anything like that. It wasn't one of those power swords, you know, like the Power Rangers and all that. Star Wars. It was a stick. It was what he had at the time. And God said, use what you have. So, we ain't got any talents. What have you got in your hand? Listen. If God can deliver his children out of Egypt with a stick, you have something you can work with too. There was a little boy a long time ago who went out into the wilderness with a big group of people. No doubt his mama fixed him a picnic lunch, and it was that little picnic lunch that Jesus took and fed over 5,000 people. It wasn't much. But Jesus, what? Blessed it. Mixed it up and gave to the disciples. and it fed over 5,000 people. Just a little picnic lunch. So the next time we think we have to have the best of everything, and we do, you think about the resources that we're blessed with today, the comforts, the conveniences, our forefathers to which had none. You know, we are without excuse. We can make excuses all day long about how things have changed for the worse. Hey, you just got to get in there and get it. You know, we have to take our lunch with us and be prepared for a hard day's work. If you think this is going to get easier until the time He comes for us, you are wrong. It will get more difficult as the day approaches. We just have to man up. Use what we got. A little picnic lunch. Let Him bless it. And impact thousands of people here. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word today. And I pray that You would encourage Your people, dear Lord. That we would serve You with what we have. That we will start from here. That we will quit waiting for better things to help us and to aid us in our service to You. That we will commit to being laborers today, entering into Your harvest, dear Lord. And we'll be prepared. That we'll come to work just looking for an opportunity to serve You. And we'll ask You to bless our efforts and believe that You would take them and do great things. And I pray if there be one among us today who is lost and undone, that they would come to know Jesus today, dear Lord. That they could leave here today knowing that I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, whatever needs be among us today, we pray that we would respond as the Holy Spirit leads. In Jesus' name, and amen. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come today. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you're here today and you feel a need to respond, you need to be saved, you need to come and recommit your life and be willing, you know, to say, I'm not much, but I'll take and use what God has given me. I'm willing to use what's in my hand. Are you willing to do that today? Let's stand together as we sing.